Hello, America, and to the rest of our listeners around the world, you're listening to yet another episode of Let's Weekend. This episode is for December 30th, 2016, last show of the year, and that also includes Day Zero Update, because that's not happening this Sunday.
Yep, because we'll probably either still be drunk or hungover on that day, so it might make for an interesting show if we tried it, but I think we'll just pass for that week.
Anyway, I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and joining me as always is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi.
Good day.
Hello.
So, we will be celebrating the end of this year, and that for us is a very good thing, because fuck this year.
Here, here.
Fuck it dead.
Just fuck it dead.
Kill it
with
fire.
Just a mile-long iron stick. It's just obviously there's been a lot of just shit years in history. Pretty sure 1968 will probably be in there, since that was the year that Martin Luther King and RFK and just a bunch of other people died. And yeah. 2016 is probably going to go down as one of those years. Because on top of the just shit ton of awful, you know, deaths that we did from many beloved people, we also had probably the most divisive election in recent American history. Yep. We basically see the death knell of the EU and, you know, all these people died, and yet somehow Pat Robertson and Donald Trump are still alive.
Yeah.
So explain it to me.
Yeah.
I'll explain it to you. There is no God. How about that?
Yeah, well, we're aware of
valid. Yeah, when you got Charlie Sheen hoping for Donald Trump's death, you know things have gone awry.
South, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I am greatly anticipating the second American Civil War. I don't know about you guys. I kind of expect it now.
Hmm. It'll probably end up happening.
Yeah. I'm kind of okay with it at this point. But until then, we got a bunch of other stuff to deal with. So, first things first, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I'm still motoring my way through The Lies of Locke Lamora, which is a really fantastic and kind of filthy book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's imagine like a mafia story, but set in a fantasy world.
Well, it's like a fantasy Venice.
Yeah, it's like a fantasy Venice. It's like, you know, imagine Assassin's Creed, except good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that. yeah. Yeah, it's basically a heist story. And mm-hmm. You know, there's sex, there's drugs, there's revenge, there's all kinds of fun stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good book. I'm about, you know, three quarters of the way through. Hopefully I'll be able to polish it off before 2016 ends so I can get that in on my Goodreads tally. But, yeah, if not, I'm not too worried about it. Other than that, I've been watching the Grand Tour, which is continuing to be amazing. Last week was probably one of the more Top Gear-esque episodes that they've had in a while. I think, yeah, well, yeah, last week, I think, was it? Yeah, Golden Earring died, so that was a problem. Don't know who they're going to kill this week, but it seems like that's become the bit now, so
And in its own weird way, it works.
Yeah, it somehow works. Especially James May, it's like, so they're not coming on again? After they've died. Anyways. Yeah, good show. I haven't watched yesterday's episode yet, but I'll probably watch that after the show or tomorrow. Other than that, well, I've been...
I need to get caught up.
Yeah, yeah, definitely worth it. Been treating myself to some records. Picked up a copy of, Them Crooked Vultures, the only album, really. Got that. Got a few Supertramp albums, got some old Boston, you know, just kind of filling in the collection, filling in the gaps. Looking for some Manowar records, but haven't been able to find any of those yet, so.
Yeah, Manowar fans tend to be pretty hardcore, so.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll be able to find them. Hopefully, maybe they'll get reissued and I'll be able to get them that way, so. Yeah, it's good stuff, and that's kind of been my week, you know, it's kind of been the... You know, between Christmas and New Year's, it's kind of quiet, so not a whole lot going on. So how about you, Pat?
Well, in addition to hoping to get caught up on the Grand Tour on this three-day weekend I've got, I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy XIV. Still grinding tomes, getting geared. Just really ready for 3.5 to drop.
Yeah.
Finally did a character name change because the one that I had before was just a giant-ass spoiler for this game that I'm passively working on in RPG Maker. And should I ever decide to release that game, then I'm a giant asshole for walking around Tonberry's server with this character name over my head. So I finally fixed that. Apart from that, I've been playing all the Street Fighter V and King of Fighters 14 that you would expect.
Yeah.
Both games featured very highly on my top 10 of the year, and with good reason. King of Fighters just gets better and better. Season 2 for Street Fighter V has been pretty interesting so far.
Yeah, Akuma dropped, so he's...
Akuma dropped, and there was a whole mess of rebalancing.
Ooh.
And... I think if I stay the course playing Ryu through this, then I can just finally settle on calling myself a Ryu main and run with it.
Yeah.
But at the very least, this patch does have me shopping around, if you will.
Yeah.
But I think the game is in a really good place overall, and I'm just looking forward to seeing how the roster fills out from here.
Yeah.
On a rather amusing note, I got a bill yesterday from the IRS, which is usually terrible news. Like, nobody wants to see a bill come out of nowhere that says, you owe the IRS money, pay up. But, it was a retroactive correction to my 2015 filing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because I had a substantial debt forgiven that I didn't know about. So it's a legitimate cost. I do have a tax burden on it, but it's due to a much, much larger sum, probably representing the bulk of my debt from here, that I no longer have to pay back. So that's some pretty good news for me to end what has been a generally shitty year on.
Yeah. That's something, at least.
So yeah, I will pay that bill with a smile on my face and zero complaints.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad debt either. It was just stuff that kind of piled up over time, just over the course of my mother's final years.
Yeah.
More or less trying to hold the world together for that span.
Yeah.
And I'd do it all again in a heartbeat, even without having ultimately had it forgiven, but...
Mm.
This is definitely a good break and one that I needed.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling good about it.
Cool.
All right.
How about you, Chris?
So I capped off my Christmas movie watching with Die Hard 1 and 2. As expected, those are still great movies.
Oh, yeah.
And very much... it was fun to watch that sort of stuff, and it was it's weird how, like, over the past 10 years, people have been pushing hard for Die Hard to be one of the, like, Christmas classics. Now there's this push recently of, like, stop calling that a Christmas movie. And it's like, what the hell? Things like, if you think Hallelujah is a Christmas song, then Die Hard's a Christmas movie. So Hallelujah is a fucked up song.
Yeah.
You pay attention to the lyrics. Yeah, so good stuff there. I finished Game of Thrones book 2. I forget what the book is called.
Clash of Kings.
Yeah. And that definitely ends in some interesting places. Now that I have the Blu-ray of the second season, I'm going to rewatch that.
Mm-hmm.
And just see what the differences are. Because when I started getting to the end, I was like, I don't know that I remember this, but that was also months ago.
Yeah.
Rewatching that, it's like, I could forget things.
Yeah.
Was it the point now where the HBO series is kind of broken off into its own continuity?
Yeah,
that's. Yeah. I'm definitely noticing things. I'm like, I don't remember this going this way, exactly at least.
Yeah.
But I'd also just be forgetting details. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting to book 3, though. I've got stuff on my Kindle app that makes me want to take a break, even though I don't really want to. So it's like I got the second of the Star Wars Thrawn trilogy books on there I'd like to read.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also have The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy book.
Mm, which is always a good
book. I would definitely like to read that for the first time.
Mm.
And there's like one or two other things that I know would be quicker reads. Especially
Hitchhiker's Guide, you'd probably be able to finish it in an afternoon. I don't think you'd be able to put it down, really.
Yeah,
it's like, a short book, and it's just it reads like candy.
Yep.
Yeah, which is a huge contrast to Game of Thrones, where everything is in such excruciating detail. It's like, enough. Just tell me if he kills him or not. I don't need to. Like, they go into detail, like, after the fighting and you see what is happening to Tyrion, it's like he just goes in and out of consciousness with such details, like, Jesus Christ, I don't need to know every single thing about this.
Yeah.
It's great for the people that are obsessed about it, and it's certainly great for the TV show,
because
they can just have all this backstory about everything and decide what to put in and whatnot, versus something like The Walking Dead, where they can say, "Ah, we'll take the cliff notes. Everything else, we'll just fudge,
make it up whatever as we go."
Yeah.
Yep.
As for games, I beat Symphony of the Night.
All right.
I got one ending.
Okay, you didn't actually.
No, which ending?
I did not see the Upside Down Castle.
Okay, then you haven't beaten the game.
You haven't finished the game yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got like 20-minute long credits.
I know. You think you beat the game, but you didn't actually beat the game.
You have not beaten the game at all.
Yeah, I went back and started looking around the map. Playing that on a Vita is really hard.
Yeah.
The map, they don't do a good job of like, here's other areas you could go to. It's like, makes me feel real old, because I'm like,
yeah,
okay, there's a little hole on this side of the map. I gotta figure out how to get over there.
Well, chances are you probably already have the items you need.
Yeah, I got something that mentions the clocks. I went over there with it. It's like, I don't know what the fuck to do here.
No, that's later on to get to Dracula, but to get to Shaft. But before you fight him, equip the gold ring and the silver ring. That's all you gotta do.
Okay, I'm still.
Makes a big difference immediately.
Yeah, and then just avoid Richter.
Yeah, I got all the upgrades for the bat and the wolf and the mist form, I think. They seem, well, except for the wolf form, the other stuff seems pretty interchangeable and usefulness to get around.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the catacombs. That was like a big area I'm working my way through. Now I'm at a certain point where I got the shield rod and a nice shield with it. And so I'm just killing bosses like crazy.
Yeah.
Not taking much damage from that.
Mm.
That's how I beat Richter, because it's like he's doing 1 damage with every hit, and I'm doing like 20.
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't very hard. Mm. So yeah, I'm working my way through. I found this dark section where you have to use the sonar with the bat.
Mm.
And that was pissing me off, because it seems like if you fuck up, you're screwed.
pretty much.
It's real hard to get back into bat form.
Yeah.
Which is, like, stupid design. Yeah, now that I got, like, the bat and all that, it's easier to get around.
Yeah.
It's really picked up.
Yeah, once you, also, like, once you also get the mist form where you can actually move around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then those areas are pretty easy because you can't take damage in that form.
Yeah, I think I'm in the middle of a boss fight, which is like a big round ball that spawns naked people at you.
Oh, yeah, the ball of corpses, yeah.
And it's like, well, now I got the bat form, so I can just...
Yep!
I can go up into one of the corners out of sight, out of mind, and use my healing armor, and I can just get my health back when I'm fucking up.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, this boss fight's trivial. It's just a matter of me getting the time and getting the right hits in, so...
Yeah. Yeah, if you if you've figured out how to do the soul steal spell, that'll help a lot.
I know all the one I got is the it's something about recovering health through blood.
Yeah.
I never figured out how that worked. There's a lot of that game it's they don't explain anything.
Nope.
It's like fuck you.
Good
I know you're like the third game in this genre. But fuck you. I would really like to see that game get remade with like more modern sensibilities.
Good news.
It's like that could Bloodstained. Be really. Yeah. I think.
Well, and a full mess of Game Boy Advance and DS games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those were quite pretty good.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But yeah, that game's not great on a handheld when it's made for a TV.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have a PS TV, you can probably play it on that.
Mm.
Yeah, but I take my Vita with me, so that's the whole appeal, is I can pull it out, play for a few minutes, put it back.
Yeah.
Other stuff I've been playing, some more Trackmania. Just doing some more stuff in there, just playing more of the solo, the campaign tracks. That game's still fun. Though getting to some, even for early stuff, like really infuriating tracks, where this one particular, you have to go on like a big loop-de-loop, but you go through a thing that turns off your engine. And apparently when it does that, you just lose traction.
So that's physics.
Yeah, because it's like, I just, like you got a big, big track you're on, but so many times I just go careening off to the left or the right. It's like, ah, fuck. It's hard enough to get to that point in a way that you can get the gold. Because there's like a magnetic part early on.
Yeah.
Where it's like if you can avoid hitting the walls, which is really hard because it immediately twists the track.
Yeah.
Then you're in good position and just have this big fuck you right at the end. It's like, oh, you could just completely waste your time before that.
And now we're joined by Dan Red Victorio.
Hello.
Hello,
hello. Hello.
Yeah, get your spot on the Google Doc in so we know what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to be immediately after you, so.
Yeah. I'm just saying so we know that he's ready to go. The other thing I've been playing is American Truck Simulator. So I got that from the Steam sale. And so far, so good. Yeah, that's very much like the European one, except things make a little bit more sense. Let's see, I am in... I set my base in Phoenix, Arizona. They only have three states, Arizona, Nevada, and California.
Okay. West Coast.
And, yeah. And, so far it's pretty good. It's one of those nice relaxing games where it's like, I'm just gonna drive my truck and realize how hard it is to deal with traffic in a giant freaking truck.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with video game first person controls.
Mm.
So it's like, there's no way I can get any sense of traffic here I think the traffic in that game is not the greatest. Because there was a point where I was trying to get like a left turn. Is there a left turn? I was trying to go straight through when it's like a, you're on a stop sign intersection. And it never stopped on either side. Never like let up. So essentially at some point I just got the lightest amount of traffic and just drove straight through. And everybody else just stopped for me.
Hmm.
So it was like just being a jerk. Yeah, it was good stuff. Bought some other stuff on Steam. Nothing really out of the noteworthy or anything like that. It's just like, oh, this game's like $5 now. I'm going to buy that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and the other thing I got, sort of sale stuff, is Dead Rising 4.
Ooh.
That was $30.
Jeez.
Came which out is like crazy.
2 weeks
three
ago.
Weeks. Yeah. And it came with the pre-order bonus, which is a zombie hand ornament.
Okay.
Which is like, that's real dumb.
A lot of these post-Black Friday releases got discounted real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be, it'll be interesting to see how that goes into next year, if that's continues to be the trend, or if it's just everybody wants to get their games out there as fast as possible.
Yeah, you know, they want to inflate the numbers a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like releasing a game in December is just a bad idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's even like, I got Deus Ex Mankind Divided on PSN for $24. Like a month or so after launch. It's like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
It's like, this game just came out a few weeks ago and it's $24.
Yeah.
So that seems like publishers are saying, Black Friday, we get lots of sales from that. Let's just do that for 3 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And, hey, whatever. That's good for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's been mostly it. How about you, Dan Reb?
Yeah, I've been getting some good gaming on. I just finished the Telltale Batman game yesterday. And I was having a hard time with it, because normally with the Telltale games, I actually try to stream them, because for some reason, when I play those games, I actually get an audience.
Hmm.
And I started a couple days ago, and it just kept crashing. And I found out it's because when they released Episode 5, it fucked up the PS4 software or whatever, so if you try to use CrowdPlay, the game would fail to work. So I had to turn off CrowdPlay, which totally, like, takes out the point of anybody even watching me play. So there's that. But aside from that, with the features this game has, it's probably Telltale's best. And this is, like, a week after I completed the latest episodes of The Walking Dead that they released last couple weeks ago. So, yeah, Batman's great. I'm pretty sure.
So what is it about Batman that's different than their normal stuff?
They really do the detective stuff pretty good. It's actually similar to Arkham VR, if you got any time with it. So in typical Telltale fashion, you know, you do the point and click stuff, but at the same time, you also have to connect certain items with other items, or certain events with other events, so that way you can actually figure out what happened in a crime scene. So, yeah, the detective stuff is pretty good. Sometimes it's super easy, where, you know, oh, the knife is next to a body, so obviously the knife was the murder weapon. Or sometimes it'll be more complicated, where, this gas tank was tied to a train, and that's going to be on the opposite side of the screen. So those are a little harder, but for the most part, it's still easy. But I just thought they were pretty cool with what they did with them.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty good. If you're into Batman, I totally recommend it. The story is quite solid. There's some surprises here and there, which surprised me, because, you know, Batman's like one of my favorite comics as far as their canon goes. So to catch a fan like me surprised is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I like about Batman in all of its adaptations is that it's pretty common for whoever's doing it to do their own spin, which is not a common thing.
Yeah.
And then with Telltale, like, they just do an excellent job with the voice acting.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go on and on about how awesome Troy Baker was as Batman, and the Joker is in it for a little bit too, and he doesn't really do anything, but he's already better than he was in Suicide Squad, so yeah. I also started Oxenfree last night. This game came out months ago on PC. I don't remember how much I paid for it on PS4, but I remember just buying it because I had to like spend $100 so that I could get like a $15 credit for the following month, which I got. I used on Batman, so yeah. Had some time. Oxenfree is pretty cool. It's another story-based game. It's Telltale-ish in the sense that you have to decide what you want to say.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot more action as far as side-scrolling goes. It's similar to something like, well, it's not totally like Inside, but you know, the camera is far away so that you see enough of the the maps and whatnot to travel around. So there's a whole lot of exploration that I'm liking. Dialogue is also pretty good. It's about these high school kids that go on a trip in some sort of island, and shit goes down. So yeah, I think it's supposed to be a thriller. Nothing really scared me, but it's a side scroller, so I wouldn't expect anything that bad to happen.
Sounds like spooky Goonies.
Yeah, Goonies. Well, except
bunch of kids stuck on an island kind of sounds like Lord of the Flies to me. But
you know. Oh man, if they made a game for that would be totally insane.
I'm sure there's survival games that are all about that.
Yeah. I'm also helping Chris with some Game of the Year stuff. I'm trying to get a video done for Trails of Cold Steel 2, but I can't find my HDMI splitter. So I'm really in order there for that to work out. But yeah, hoping for the best. And also my gaming laptop arrived this morning. So I pretty much spent the whole day on that. Just, you know, downloading all the essentials for a PC. Getting used to it again. I mean, the last time I had a PC, we had a Windows Vista, and Windows Vista is not Windows 10, so... Nope.
No! Yeah. Thankfully.
Yeah.
Thankfully, so I'm actually enjoying the interface. Thank God the search was totally improved, but aside from that, I downloaded Steam so I can play a whole bunch of the games that I couldn't play on my Mac.
Yeah.
So, installed Grandia 2, I installed all the East games... I installed KOTOR, and yeah, now that I have all these games installed, I don't know what to start with.
That's Steam.
Yeah, yep, that's pretty Steam. Much Steam in a nutshell.
But at the very least, I installed them.
Yeah.
You know, so that's,
oh, that's Steam as well. Install everything, play nothing.
Yeah.
Might I recommend Defense Grid 2?
Okay.
Just say it.
Yeah. I thought you would.
Phil, don't.
I would also say to install Trails in the Sky and Trails SC because the difference between versions, even though you'd kind of expect a difference between PSP and PC, is very pronounced.
Yeah. I mean, I actually got those games from my brother when they came out on Steam originally. Mm-hmm. And... I'll tell you what, I'm not going to lie. I actually bought this PC just so I can prepare for the third.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get busy then.
Yeah. Yep. Got to get that save going.
You can download those, all right?
Yeah, probably a good idea just to check out the Steam Queue stuff.
Mm.
It'll just throw stuff at you, though. At my point, I own so many games. It's like, here's all the games. Just tell us if you want it or not.
Yeah.
Well, the nice thing about queues now is that you can do like keyword blocks on them.
Yeah.
So they won't waste your time with shit you don't care about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the only thing I put on there is VR, but then I wonder if it's gonna block stuff that you can play without VR.
Hmm.
It's like optional stuff, and it's like
if the keyword VR is there, it'll block it.
Yeah.
And it's like my taste is varied enough that. Like, even saying, like, I don't want horror things, like, well, there's one or two I would be interested in, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of pointless. Now, whenever it's like, gives me reasons why it's offering, it's like, this is popular. This is on sale. It's like, I've completely fucked up the algorithm that it can't even just try and find stuff that might be interesting.
Yeah.
She's like, here's everything. So far,
I haven't pulled the trigger on anything from the holiday sale yet, but I'm really, really close to doing so for Owlboy. It looks really interesting.
Yeah, Owlboy is apparently really good. I haven't had a chance to play it, but I think Brandon did.
Yeah, it's in my top 10 list. It is that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely say look at like the top sellers, just see what's on there.
Yeah.
Especially for like the top sellers under $10 or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, you can get, I think Final Fantasy IX is like $11.
Oh. Yep.
I own a steal at that price.
I think I own that game 2 or 3 times already. Yeah. I need more.
So I got it somewhere.
Did they upgrade it the way they did to 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe it has all that sort of fast forwarding and
achievements.
No random battle stuff and all that stuff.
I'm good. I'll probably download it and not play it.
As you do.
Now you're a Steam veteran.
Yeah.
I have so many games on my wish list. I think I had about an email chain of about 40 some emails just because of the Steam sale.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Like emailing like 2 or 3 times a day. It's like you're not even just trying to catch up to what happened 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
a lot of mine are Japanese digital novels. I don't know if I want to pull the trigger yet.
Well, now's the time to do it because some of them are prohibitively expensive.
Yeah, it's like $2. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of free ones as well.
Yeah.
See, I don't know about you guys. Free to play is one of the things that I just did a line item block on the queues.
Yeah.
Just don't waste my time with this free to play shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's stuff like Gems of War that's like that's free to play. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I like that one.
Well, Terra Battle is also free to play, and that's a lot of fun.
Hmm. Okay, so there are some good free to play games, but yeah.
Is that on PC now?
No, it's still iOS.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
I'm a little bit different with free to play on mobile than I am on PC.
Yeah.
Hmm. So if I'm at the PC, I want to play games.
Yeah, I hear that.
All
what
right.
About you, Brandon?
Final Fantasy 15.
Okay.
Wow.
Yep, that is the first thing. I got that for Christmas this year.
Yeah.
I got the deluxe edition, which also comes with a copy of Kingsglaive, which is the film.
Yeah.
That goes along with it.
Which is actually required.
Yeah, it's required, but fortunately it's actually not that bad of a movie.
Hmm.
Okay, thank you
very much. So the thing is, the first thing you pretty much do in this game, first thing it the set being if you decided to skip the tutorial.
Yeah.
Which, for the record, if you want to, you probably might want to give that a look, because this isn't some sort. It's not really that much of a sort of a hack and slash type thing. It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But literally the first thing that you're doing in this game, like you're physically involved in doing. So you guys are familiar with the Regalia, right?
Yeah.
It's the car
that
you're basically using to traverse this world in.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it breaks down in the middle of the road, and it's basically you and the other three dudes trying to push it to the nearest gas station.
Because RPGs.
And I don't know about you, but for some weird reason, I found some sort of parallel to that in the rather long, drawn-out development cycle of this game, and I'm trying to wonder.
It's broken down the convertible at the side of the road.
But did the wheels come off?
No.
Yeah.
Wheels did not come off, but
what
I am...
That?
Yeah. But... Yeah, so basically what it is, after that, you get it to the nearest, and during that scene is also when, you know, the theme song comes on. And for those of you who don't know, at least over here in the West, the theme song for Final Fantasy XV is the cover of Stand By Me by Florence and the Machine, which I don't mind because I actually rather like Florence and the Machine, but you know.
It's a weird
choice. That's a big change from what's her name from Final Fantasy X?
Yeah.
Ikaru Utada.
Yeah. But then Final Fantasy 13, which had what's her name? I completely forgot.
It's like, yeah, standard J-pop idol.
Yeah.
No, it was for the Western one. Final Fantasy 13's was that R&B singer. She sang the theme. Lewis. Huh?
Leona Lewis?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was saying from Final Fantasy 10. So we've gone from J-pop idol to people you might have actually heard of.
Yeah. But so first of all, I just want to go ahead and say I'm like what I'm seeing so far. I'm actually enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's actually quite fun.
But are you enjoying it as a Final Fantasy game or as its own thing?
I'll be honest, it's been so long since I've actually played a proper Final Fantasy game, I don't really know the difference anymore.
That's
bad.
Yeah. So the sort of aesthetic.
That's depressing.
Yeah, it kind of is. But hey, it still works. So the first thing you'll notice about this game is that the sort of aesthetic that they're going for, which is they were trying to sort of show what like a Final Fantasy universe would look like if it was in the real world, which is neat and kind of off-putting at the same time, because you kind of realize pretty quickly that if we lived in a JRPG universe, it would be pretty goddamn terrifying.
Yeah.
She was near.
I mean, just all these random flesh-eating monsters just wandering around the place willy-nilly, not that very far from where people are living.
Yeah.
At any given time.
Yeah.
That's just a manifestation of what we think happens in the boondoggles of the country.
Yeah, because that's basically sort of how the game starts, is you're basically showing up in first at this sort of rest stop nearby where there's the gas station and the convenience store and everything. And, of course, the people you meet at the convenience store, of course, is Cid, because it's a Final Fantasy game. Cid's got to be there. And, of course, his granddaughter, Sydney. Who you actually meet first.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as Sydney is concerned, I could go on about, you know, things like needless over-sexualization and objectification of female characters in video games and how they don't really add anything to story or plot, and it's mostly just rather naked pandering to the male gaze, but goddamn, her ass looks good in those Daisy Dukes. So...
Priorities.
Yeah. It's a sickness. I need help. But, and she's also got this really cute southern accent, too, and it's just, yeah. But so many other people who are playing this game hate her guts and find her extremely annoying. I find her charming, so... And then, like, after that, once you do sort of your first quest where you basically get, like, a bounty and everything, then you're going off to this beach resort that's nearby to get on a boat to head off to the other country where Noctis is getting married. And that's about to the extent that I've gotten so far. I only started this game last night, but... So a few things I've already realized about this game is that one thing that you do in this game is that you switch back and forth between sort of manual and sort of strategy style combat, like on the fly, because some of the bigger enemies that you end up facing require a lot more strategy to fight, also a lot of teamwork, and... Not only that, but you basically have to switch between different weapons on the fly because some of these characters, you know, some of these enemies, they can only be hurt by either one weapon, or they'll be hurt by one weapon and then they'll go into another into another sort of evolution or whatever, and then now you got to hurt them with another weapon. So stuff like that. And one of the first things that you see in this game, which by the way also just so happens when you're pushing along that car, is a giant billboard for Cup Noodles.
Okay. Product.
So, you know, I would say something about, you know, needless advertisement in games, but this is Japan we're talking about, and let's face it, Nissan Foods pretty much owns that country.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, if the Yakuza series can get away with it, why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, I am genuinely enjoying it. It's really not bad at all. There are some sort of graphical glitches here and there. There is some, fading in and out of scenery that's happened on occasion. Yeah, it doesn't really bother me all that much because when you've been gaming as long as we have, you kind of get used to shit like that.
Yeah.
But, when it's a game that's trying to go for this sort of pseudo Uncanny Valley sort of realism, it can be kind of off-putting at times.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Valley.
Yeah.
That's the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's fun. Quite enjoying it. More on that as I get further in. Let's see. Oh, and I also got Toonstruck off of GOG the other day. Those of you who don't know, Toonstruck is a old school PC adventure game starring none other than Christopher Lloyd, who plays a cartoonist who gets sucked into his cartoon world as it's slowly being corrupted from an outside influence. I should probably leave it at that.
Yeah.
You'll want to experience it for yourself because it gets pretty weird.
Yeah.
That sounds like something he'd get involved with too.
Hmm.
Well, let's see. Christopher Lloyd has pretty much been involved in not one but two of the biggest box office bombs in history.
Hmm.
One of them being the Oogie Loves movie, and the other one being Food Fight.
Yeah. But he was also in Back to the Future, so...
He pretty much gets a free pass forever.
Yeah.
let's see. Other than that, I have been reading, as usual. Nothing particularly major on that front. I did get... I don't know if you guys know this. Vertical released the first volume of the Bakemonogatari series in English back on the 22nd. And so I went to Barnes & Noble and got a copy of that.
Nice.
We already know what that is, right?
We talked about the series.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's Nisio Eason. It's going to be a ton of fun. It's great. It's good reading. Definitely is. That's pretty much the only major thing on that front. Really, the only thing other than that is trying to keep myself warm. We had a fairly mild holiday this year.
Yeah.
It got up to around 80.
Okay.
On Christmas Day. And then after that, between then and now, apparently the climate just decided, oh, right, it's supposed to be winter. Freeze.
Yeah.
And now it's like in the 30s down here.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm playing like the world's smallest violin for you.
Yeah.
Look, I gotta explain, it's La Nina. It happens like every 10 years down here, and it just messes with the climate.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
No, I gotta stay on this for a minute, because walking home from work last night, it was 7 degrees, and it wasn't even all that bad.
7 degrees. I can beat that.
I mean,
of course you can beat that. You live next to the goddamn Arctic.
Yep.
Well, North Pole, but
yeah, it got down to like -12 here. So
yeah, that's around the point where I start complaining.
Yeah, that's like ball freezing territory here. So
yeah, that's fuck you weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Your boss calls you on your phone. You coming in to work today? Nope. It's fuck you weather. So fuck you.
But the 30s, I mean, that's right around the point where I start considering wearing long pants.
Yeah.
Mm. So. All right.
Okay.
So
I'm done.
Yeah. All right. So you guys got anything else you want to add?
No, I'm good.
You good?
Yep.
Yeah.
You're good. All right. Well, then. It is time, once again, for everybody's favorite aspect of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And you know what, this time, for this Brandon's Random Factoid, why don't we just talk about a weird movie that I recently found? Because, as everybody knows, I love weird, awful movies.
Yeah,
it's just a thing that I do. I don't know why. There's something about just colossal ineptness in filmmaking that is like, you know, flies to honey for me.
Hmm.
I don't know why. It's just, you know, failure by itself can be romantic, but there's something amazing about failing so badly and yet there it is for all the world to see forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
So I would like to introduce you folks to a rather mysterious little film that was made in 1965. Exactly who made it and why it was made is still a mystery.
Going where I think it's go. Oh, no. Okay, never mind.
There are some odd ideas about why it was made. And it had to do with the Thanksgiving parade in Philadelphia of 1965. I give you Fun in Balloon Land.
Oh, joy.
anybody here a Riff Trax fan?
Yeah, I check them out every now and then.
Yeah, they did one of these. And also the Cinema Snob did a whole episode on it as well. Hmm. How can I describe this thing? So, ostensibly, this movie is about what's supposed to be about a little boy and who gets read a bedtime story by his mother, who, you know, he's trying to tell him a story before he goes to sleep, and then everybody goes to sleep. He gets up, he walks over to a cardboard cutout that says fairy tales, and he kind of, it's not so much that he walks into it so much as he does that whole Blair Witch Project thing where he just kind of gets really close to it, like in the corner. and then he wakes up and suddenly he's in a magical, mystical land made up of old parade balloons. And like the first one he comes to is this, is the parade balloons for Sleeping Beauty and the Prince. And the first thing you notice about this is that they only have one microphone for this movie. one boom mic, period.
Mm.
Like, it's so bad that literally everybody has to shout. So, like, when he comes up to the Prince, you know, he's like, who are you? And then the prince is talking, he's like, what are you doing here? Except the problem is you can tell that it's not actually coming from the prince. It sounds like it's coming by from some dude yelling from the other side of the warehouse.
Okay. So.
And he's basically saying, you know, I'm looking for Sleeping Beauty. She is beautiful. And then the kid says, well, what he is saying is, how did you get there when the thorn stuck all of the other princes? Because you remember how in Sleeping Beauty, you know, the thorn surrounding the castle and you have to get through them, you know.
Yeah.
Except the thing is This kid has no concept of an inside voice, so instead it comes out like, how did you get when the fan stuck all the other princes?
Oh my god. So top marks on audio production quality.
Right.
And then, you know, the parade, you know, then there's like a ballet thing doing a sequence from, I think, Swan Lake. But it's like the local amateur group, so it looks
god-awful.
Yeah, and then the balloon finally kisses the Sleeping Beauty balloon, and so all the folks that were still asleep in the kingdom wake up. Except the problem is that it doesn't look like he's kissing her so much as at first it looks like he's dry humping her, and then I guess whatever the weight of the helium or something or gravity starts taking over, so it looks like it's slowly going down to.
Oh god!
Oh, and then I haven't even gotten started. Oh god! After that, you know, the people wake up, and then they do Ring Around the Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, yeah, hey, a nice song about the bubonic plague. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's great.
And then he goes in, and suddenly he shows up in the bottom of the ocean where the king of the sea. And this is really creepy because the kid's only wearing gold lame shorts in a warehouse somewhere in the middle of Philadelphia. And then there's this dude who shows up in a robe with a mask where he's like, you're at the bottom of the ocean where I am the king. You are welcome. And what can I...
Our therapy sessions have started out with that anecdote.
Yeah. And then the kid wants to go and, you know, shake hands with the octopus. And the octopus balloon's like, hey, let me go. I'll wrap my arms around you and squeeze you to death. And then there's like this... Blowfish, who sounds like Paul Lynde, and he's like, you know, I'm a blowhard down here, but there's a lot of blowhards up there, I guess. And it's just, yeah, it's nightmare-inducing, this shit. And then that happens, and he wakes up at a farm, and that one is particularly weird because did I mention, by the way, that these parade balloons look like shit?
No, but
they really do. look, you see the picture that you've got in the chat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about the best of it right there. And so he does that, and then, you know, there's the part there. They have, like, a whole thing where there's, like, they sing, you know, Old MacDonald and, the farmer in the dell, you know. Except it's very clear that these kids are lip singing it.
Yeah.
And that this was dubbed over later. And, you know, like, there's this poor little girl who's giving it all she can, but she's singing this song, and you can tell that she's not really singing it. She looks like she's going, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's this Western scene where we get to see some cowboy balloons and, some balloons of American Indians.
Very.
Yeah, you can
very
take a
racial stereotype.
Oh, yeah.
Balloon.
So bad that, Dan Snyder immediately invited them to watch a game from the owner's seat. Football joke! Ha-ha! But, I swear to God, it sounds like one of those Indians is voiced by Bernie Sanders. It really does.
Hmm.
And then that's over, and then you get to the actual parade. Oh, that is so much... The parade is literally the highlight of this movie. And it's not just because of how shitty the balloons look. It's because of the narrator, who is this weird... Midwest Pacific Coast woman with just the most... I swear to God, this woman must have been huffing butane at some point, because You know, she's literally making this shit up as she goes along. It's 100% improvised. And it's just... if you get a chance, you need to go on YouTube and watch Cinema Snob and do the Best of Riff Tracks episode of this movie. Because it is something that you have to see to believe. It is just absolutely... And to this day, no one is really sure who made this movie and why.
I'm guessing some sort of illicit substances were involved.
I actually think that it was two things. I think one, it was ostensibly to promote the Philadelphia Thanksgiving Parade. And two, I would not be surprised if this was some sort of money laundering thing.
Probably, because a lot of stuff like that did happen around then.
Yeah, and so, yeah, if you get a chance, just go on YouTube and watch this. It's God, the whole movie is actually up on YouTube for you to watch. But I would actually suggest the Cinema Snob and Riff Tracks first, because otherwise you won't be able to leave with your sanity intact.
Yeah, good point.
Oh, God. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another episode of Brandon's Random Factoid. This episode of Brandon's Random Factoid has been brought to you by the Thorns. Thorns!
How did you get past with all thorns at the other Prince Abja?
Yeah.
I will never stop doing that. Oh, God. Okay, well... Now on to the show proper. And first things first, we have our ideas for assholes of the year and hero of the year. And you know who the asshole of the year is this year? Who we decided it was?
The year itself.
It was 2016 itself, because fuck this year.
I'll just stand in the corner.
Yeah, just, so, not only could this year not leave... You know, having it wasn't enough that they took Prince and, you know, fucking David Bowie and all these other people. It had to take Princess Leia from us, too. And like, right near the goddamn end of the year. Yes, and her mom, too. You know,
and
that's
George Michael.
And George Michael.
Another. Rickman.
Now, Debbie Reynolds was in her 80s, so
yes.
Obviously her passing away isn't that big of a shock. Carrie Fisher was only 60. And I know that she had extensive drug use in her past, but she'd been clean and sober for years.
Yeah,
but the damage had been done, probably.
Yeah. And as for George Michael, I mean, he was only 53.
Yeah. So.
I mean, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, and then, to top it all off, it took Richard Adams from us. Now, Richard Adams was in his 90s, so that's not a shock, but still.
Yeah. Now, I know, 2016 is, it's not an entity, it's a time period. It's, you know, just...
It seemed especially vindictive for some reason.
Yeah, it's, like, I know that... rationally, you know, the year didn't conspire to take all of these celebrities and, you know, overthrow the entire, well, American political system, but that happened this year. So,
yep.
We gotta blame somebody, so fuck off.
There's a good chance that it can be 2017.
Yeah.
We'll and 2016 also also apparently hates our bandwidth. So that's what's happening right now.
Yeah. And let us also not forget that this is also the year that the death knell of the EU was sounded.
Yeah. Well, Brett started with Brexit, and now yeah, shit's going down.
Yep. Looks like a couple other countries are getting ready to follow suit. And apparently the, and not only that, but as far as our American political system concerned, our, you know, apparently the results of Trump being elected terrified so many people that Canada is thinking about reducing some of their immigration restrictions to allow potential American refugees.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's plenty of space for them.
Yeah, we got lots of room. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
There might not be anything in that room, but hey, we got it.
Well, it's cool. You can just move over to the mountains, eh?
Yeah.
Just make sure the beavers don't eat you. Also, the bears. We got a lot of those.
Now, I would say that that would be stereotypical, but I know people who talk exactly like that, so yeah.
Yeah. Also, be careful of, you know, fuck it, I don't know. But yeah, and then, like, what else happened? Just an awful lot of awful shit happened this year.
Well, a lot of people dying. A general, you know, deterioration of civility on the internet.
We have a new president.
Well, that's not helping.
The sudden resurgence of the far right.
Yeah.
In politics.
Yeah, not just in the U.S., but, you know, a lot of
all over the world, pretty much. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you got places, you got, like, that asshole Geert Wilders and, what was it, I think, Holland or Denmark.
Yeah.
In the Netherlands, basically. You got that asshole Milo Yiannopoulos, who is just a human tumor.
Yeah.
Neo-Nazis became part of the American political discussion again after never. Since World War II, basically. And the worst part is the media trying to be kind of politically correct about it and calling them the alt-right. Or white nationalists. No, they're Nazis. Call them what they are. Also, the word cuck became part of the popular lexicon.
Unfortunately.
Along with other phrases like virtue signaling and white knighting and other shit.
Gee, I wonder where I heard all of those things before.
Yeah.
Like Gamergate.
Yeah, yes.
You know.
Which Milo was also involved in.
Gamergate and 4chan.
And let's see, what else? This was also pretty much the year of the mass shooting.
Well, the U.S. gets a lot of those anyway.
Yeah, but we managed to get some very, not just mass shootings, but very high casualty mass shootings.
And we had the largest mass shooting in our country's history.
In Florida. In Orlando. And on top of that, we also had the game, had the realization that way too many people in America have completely lost any and all critical thinking they once had. It's Pizzagate. Which is not a goddamn thing.
No, it's not a goddamn thing. And can we stop calling things with gate now? Because seriously?
I would wish we did, but unfortunately, that's sort of how the media works. So they have to stop doing it.
Well, it's not even the media. It's, you know, just a bunch of random people on Twitter starting with this crap.
And then on top of that, if it as far as the election concerned, it isn't just that Trump managed to win by electoral vote rather than popular vote, considering that, you know, Hillary Clinton actually, popular vote actually beat him by about 3 million.
Yeah, which is a significant margin.
Yeah. It shouldn't have even been that goddamn close.
No.
And it wouldn't have been that goddamn close had the party nominated another individual.
Yeah.
A certain old Jewish man with weird hair from Vermont.
Yeah, but they didn't. It was Hillary's turn, so Yeah.
And then basically acting like they had no goddamn idea what had just happened.
Oh, yeah, when you got Trump pretty much lying for 18 months straight. He can fool a lot of people, and he's like, prison? Fuck that shit. I'm not doing any of that shit.
And he didn't even... And the thing is, he, even when Election Day came, and you can see in the pictures, even he did not expect to win. He just didn't.
No, it was like...
He's just like, oh, fuck, I actually have to do this now, don't I?
Yeah,
like the notion that he campaigned on a set of promises and then through
immediately started breaking them.
He's like, oh, we're not going to prosecute Hillary. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that.
We're not going to build a wall. We're not going to make Mexico pay for it.
Yeah.
It's like, in this case, you
know, in this case, I'm not actually, you know, mad about a candidate like breaking his campaign promises when they were like completely stupid to begin with.
Yeah.
But it's the principle.
Stupid and or horrifying. But...
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely shocked that so many people could not see through it.
Well, it's going to be a very interesting 4 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our asshole of the year, 2016, the year itself.
Yeah.
We will not miss you at all.
Yeah.
And we're sorry. And for the record, if you're listening and you actually had a good year 2016, first of all, go fuck yourself. And second of all, you know, you think you're better than me. Second of all, we're sorry. We don't mean
anything.
Not where I
thought that was going.
Nothing personal if you had a great year, but this year can go die in a fire. We're calling this this episode the 2016 calendar burning party, and goddamn it, we mean to do it.
Yeah. Do you guys know about the Italian New Year's tradition that we have? No.
Does it involve? No, but I can't wait to hear this.
Well, it's the reason that if you ever go to an Italian household 1 year and then you go back another year and have dinner, why all of the dinner plates are always different.
Oh, right, because they smash all of the silverware, don't they?
They smash all of the crockery at the end of the year. It's, you know,
all the tableware just
kind of expensive, but you know. it's very cathartic to throw a plate against the wall. It's
I bet.
Yeah, it's great. So,
yeah. So, has your family done that yet?
Yeah,
or planning to
tomorrow night? Plates will fly.
Yeah. Just Phil's family. Just make sure that you aim Phil in the proper direction.
I mean, we called my grandma crazy for going outside and banging pots and pans. This is just all right.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, at least, however, this year we do have some stuff to be hopeful for. And the first thing is that SpaceX and the new space race.
Yep.
This year, the belief in going out into outer space and exploring things was renewed. We got to go all the way out to Pluto.
Yep.
We got to see it. We got a bunch of amazing shots of Jupiter.
Yeah.
Pretty sure we had the Mars rover, too, didn't we?
Yeah, Mars rover's still been hanging out over there. Doing its thing.
The universe is starting to get, you know, a little less mysterious now.
Yeah. Elon Musk has outlined his plan to get to Mars.
Yep. And this is Elon Musk. He will fucking do it. Even if it kills him.
Yeah. I am kind of...
Or others.
Yeah. Well, he has now... did you hear what he's doing now?
What's he doing now?
His tunneling company.
Oh. Is he getting ready to make, like, underground shelters or something?
No, traffic tunnels underground.
Oh.
Because he's
actually that's not a bad idea.
No, it isn't. It's just, he's calling it the boring company.
Yeah. Elon, you sly devil.
Yeah. Not making that up. That's actually, he actually is doing this.
Yeah. So, yeah. Am I the one who thinks that at some point, Elon is going to be the guy who ends up discovering the warp drive?
Probably.
Yeah.
Him or Jeff Bezos, but, you know. Yeah.
Because whoever it ends up it's if somebody's going to discover the warp drive, it's got to be someone like him.
Yes.
Because once at that point happens, then that's it. The intergalactic age officially begins.
Yeah. Oh, universe.
And the thing is, a warp drive is very much scientifically feasible.
Yeah. We've learned very recently that it actually is. We don't have the ability to produce that much energy yet, but...
Just yet, but we'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
And that will be a great day.
Yeah.
Or it'll be a horrible day!
You know, might suck for, you know, other intergalactic species is that end up crossing us and is like, what the hell is wrong with these people?
Yeah.
What's right with us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know.
All right, but yeah. So
oh, that was an honest question.
Yeah,
we make good games. Yeah, we do that. That's what we do.
We produce oxygen. We produce carbon dioxide.
Yay! Yeah, we feed plants. That's what we do.
We feed plants. That's our function. And we're losing a lot of those as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not very good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of suck. But at least, you know, we're getting to a point now where we're slowly but surely weaning ourselves off of petroleum.
Yeah.
Wind farms and solar power is growing at an exponential rate now.
Much to the chagrin of the oil companies, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah. Las Vegas is now at a point now where well over half of the city's power is produced through... solar or wind.
Yeah.
And that's Las Vegas. They suck up more electricity than pretty much most of the cities on Earth.
Yeah.
So. All those lights aren't efficient.
Nope.
Yeah. And if they can do it...
Yeah.
You know...
Anybody can do it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, the new space race...
How long until we fuck it all up with Xeon?
Well, you got to go out and do space colonization first.
Yeah,
we'll and then work just on that.
And then just one dude to decide, hey, you know, all these colonies should be their own nation.
Yeah.
And then the Federation says, no, fuck you, and then this there's a war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you want Xeon? Because this is how you get Xeon.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking the entire time. Like, you can actually connect the dots now.
Yep.
Well, we have giant robots now.
Yeah, we do.
Those are a thing.
Yep.
They exist.
Yep.
There's only a handful of them, but giant mech suits are a thing now.
And they're beating the crap out of each other now, so... Hey.
Yep. God damn, we really are living in anime.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so yeah, scientific progress, SpaceX, and the new space race. That was our hero of the year.
Yeah.
Science. It will be our salvation if it doesn't kill us first. So, moving on to the show proper. As you guys probably know, me, Phil, and Patrick, and some of the others are big fans of Dream Theater.
Yeah, I like them a lot.
And Dream Theater, you know, their most recent album was a sprawling concept double album called The Astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome.
Yes. You should listen to it.
It is a genuinely great album.
Yeah.
They should be proud. Also, the first proper concept record they've put out since pretty much since the late 90s, really.
Yeah, I think Scenes from a Memory was the last one, and that was years and years ago.
Yep. And, This one being its unique and very elaborate sci-fi future universe, we all knew that eventually it was going to branch out into other narrative forms. Mm-hmm. Well, it's happening. The people at Dream Theater have gotten together, are getting together with not just any author, but actually one of my favorite authors, Mr. Peter Arulian, who I've talked about here once or twice before. He's a fairly prolific short story author, and he's currently the author of the Vault of Heaven epic fantasy series that's being published by Tor.
Yeah.
What you might not know also about Peter Arulian is that he's also a singer, and he has been lead singer of a bunch of different groups over the years, from progressive rock to heavy metal bands, and... you know, if you've heard his recent musical endeavors, you can tell he's a very big fan of Dream Theater himself.
Yeah.
So who else but him to be the person to novelize The Astonishing? So yeah, I'm excited.
I'm excited too. I'm a little bit of trepidation, honestly. Because this is something that could go horribly wrong.
Oh, yes, it could.
So, yeah, we'll wait and see how this one turns out. But, yeah, hopefully they'll do an audiobook so I can listen to it. And
yeah.
We'll hopefully be good.
Yeah, because you kind of realize at some point that the reason that The Astonishing kind of works better as a rock opera is because the concept is a little hokey here and there.
Yeah.
So trying to make that work in prose format is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to really actually take that whole concept and take it really seriously.
Yeah.
and actually smooth out some of the weird hitches that, you know, the album kind of has. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a very good author, so hopefully he'll be able to pull it off. And obviously he's going to John Petrucci and James Labrie, you know, on hand, so...
Yeah, they're all going to be heavily involved in it.
Yeah.
To help him out.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully in return he'll get to, you know, guest on their next album.
That'd be pretty awesome.
It would.
Yeah.
Looking at that, hope everything goes well. I'll definitely be buying a copy.
Yeah.
Because, goddamn, the album's worth it.
Yeah.
By the way, just out of curiosity, is there any news about that iOS game that was supposed to be?
Yeah, it's almost done.
All right.
Yeah, I got an email from them about a couple of weeks ago. They said they're just about finished, and there's a trailer for it now. So, yeah, it looks like it's going to be out soon.
All right. Does the trailer show anything of substance?
Yeah, there's a little bit of gameplay. It looks like a typical strategy game, so it looks kind of cool.
All right. All right, well, moving on from there, January 2017's PS Plus and Games with Gold lineups.
Yeah, since we're not doing Days Over Update this week, we might as well get these.
We might as well go ahead and get these out of the way. Mm-hmm. So first things first, let's see what have we got for PS2. We got six games on the docket here. So, for PS4 and I guess cross by on PS Vita, Day of the Tentacle Remastered.
Good start.
Yeah. Is there anyone here who hasn't played that?
Me.
I have it downloaded, but I haven't played it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing this.
Good game.
Yeah, it is. It's a good game.
I just don't do a lot of point and click, is why I haven't played it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It is pretty primitive by modern point and click standards. So on top of that, we've also got for the PS4 This War of Mine, The Little Ones, which for those of you who don't know, that is the extension to This War of Mine that involves the children and how they exist in a time of war.
Yeah.
Start off the new year with extreme depression.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I think we're already there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just preparing us.
Mm. For PS3, we've got Blaze Rush.
Never heard of that one.
Me neither.
It's top-down racing game. Kind of isometric.
I like those.
All right. Also for PS3 and cross-buy with PS4 and PS Vita, we got The Swindle.
That's a pretty good game. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a stealth hacking game. Mm. Kind of side-scrolly. All right. It's pretty cool.
Mm. Yep. For PS Vita, we've got Azkin 2.
Yeah, that one's also on PS4. I think it's cross-buy.
Mm. And
that's a puzzle game.
Mm. Yeah. And also for PS Vita, cross-buy with PS4, Titan Souls.
Mm. That game is pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's hard as hell.
Yeah.
Pretty solid lineup that month.
Yeah. Yeah, actually. Now, let's see what we get with games with gold. Mm. Let's see. On Xbox One, you can get World of Van Helsing Death Trap. And for free during the month of January... And for January 16th to February 15th, you can get Killer Instinct Season 2 Ultra Edition.
Oh. God damn. Wow. I have that sealed.
Play that shit. That's a good game.
Yeah, that Van Helsing game is from the people who did the... what is it? The Amazing Adventures of Van Helsing?
Yeah.
The Diablo clone?
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. This one is a tower defense game.
Oh. Mm.
It kind of looks defense grid-ish, but not as good. Mm. It's like they try and shoehorn action RPG stuff into it.
Yeah.
Oh, instead of like the herding elements of defense grid, it seems like the way it's set up is with the grid that the levels are made of. You put towers on like the corners of each grid, so it's like potential four towers per spot or something like that. I don't know.
That looks irritating.
Seems like co-op focus from the length that they show. I don't know. It looks weird.
Yeah. Okay. And for Xbox 360, you have The Cave and Rayman Origins.
Yeah. Cave is pretty cool.
Yeah. Rayman Origins is Rayman Origins, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you got Rayman Legends through Games with Gold, I believe most of Rayman Origins levels are in that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's kind of a little bit redundant unless you're an achievement person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, moving on from there. The sequel to the cult hit Frog Fractions has finally surfaced.
Yay. Yeah, so if you remember the ARG stuff with the sigils that were hidden in weird indie games?
Yep.
Yeah. That was leading to Frog Fractions 2.
Mm.
I would say suggest listening to the podcast interview that Jeff Gerstmann did with Jim Crawford, who made the original Frog Fractions as well as the sequel. He goes through a lot of the game's origin and sort of how he pulled all this off. There's at a point where he just hired on somebody to handle the ARG for him, because it was a good bit of work, and they ended up spinning off another ARG into it or something. And he was surprised that nobody else just put the weird sigil thing in their own game just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because developers that worked with him on that stuff got like a sales boost.
Mm.
So like there was an actual like indie cabal going on. Frog Fractions 2 has surfaced. It is in a game that's published by Adult Swim called Glitter Mitten Grove. Which is...
Yeah, I'm actually not surprised that Frog Fractions 2 is actually inside another game.
Yep, and Adult Swim was in on that from the beginning, I guess. After Frog Fractions was released, they contacted him pretty soon after, sort of wanting to work together on something else. And this is essentially what it came out of. And he also made a deal with the guy that was working on Glitter Mitten Grove which is sort of a weird thing to do. It's like, I'm just going to make another game, and we're going to put it in your game. And we're going to have to
make sure the bugs... You're going to have to put a secret door into your game so you could get to our game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... I forget what the Glittermint and Grove is. It's a $20 game.
Hmm.
Essentially involves... It's like resource collecting and building stuff. You have to either like dig down below and find a weird door, and that goes to Frog Fractions 2, or go way up off the screen at the top of the screen. And it's it's a weird thing. But yeah.
So just out of curiosity, is there anybody here who doesn't know what Frog Fractions is?
Yeah, me? I don't. Because I missed the first ARG, so it's like...
Yeah, so the whole thing about... Frog Fractions 2 being hidden in a completely different game. Like I said earlier, that makes perfect sense as far as Frog Fractions is concerned, because the original Frog Fractions was basically entirely based around the concept of emergent gameplay. It basically, on the surface, looks like a simple little educational math game. Mm-hmm. But as you start to mess around with the game, a lot of other stuff starts to make an appearance. You start to realize that you can actually go down below the screen, then up the screen, then you go into space, then you explore water, and then the game turns into a text adventure, and all that stuff.
Hmm.
So, yeah, the idea that Frog Fractions 2 is buried inside a completely different game just makes all the sense in the world.
Well,
yeah, it's hilarious, actually.
Yeah, and in the interview, he mentioned that he made that game just for some friends.
Mm-hmm.
So he was expecting maybe, like, a couple dozen people to play it.
Mm.
And realizes he probably should have charged for it ahead of time because it was a Flash game.
Mm.
So he lost out on potentially a lot of money, but through the Kickstarter and I imagine all the sales that Glittermint and Grove will get out of this, that they'll probably get some good compensation for all that work.
Yeah. Well, hats off to very creative game design and distribution.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see this very often.
Yeah. No. The way it ended was really weird. Essentially, people found out about this key in a box that it opens up, and inside the box is a button that supposedly when it's pressed would launch the game.
Hmm.
It actually wouldn't. It had to be somebody who'd have to live stream it or upload a YouTube video of them pushing the button.
Hmm.
He would find it and then hit the button on Steam to launch it. He said, well, if that never happened, he would have launched it himself anyway.
Hmm.
So like he seemed to have a lot of fun just
messing with
watching
people.
The community doing what they're doing. And it took people time to figure out that this was actually in Glittermint and Grove.
Hmm.
So it was out for a few days before this announcement came out.
Oh, a few days.
Yeah.
That's not that much time, really.
And it was like, oh, this game that came out, no marketing or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's a crazy thing. Like, they made this deal with Adult Swim. It's like, you can't promote this game.
Hmm.
Because they're going to ruin the big surprise if you
try
and promote it ahead of time.
Yeah.
Cool. It's just, again, it makes all the sense in the world.
Hmm.
So, moving on from there, Gravity Rush 2. Who here played the first Gravity Rush?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Very solid. Sequel's coming out, and now there's an anime prequel.
Yep.
And it's live now.
Yep.
Yeah, they announced this a while ago. It's Gravity Rush, the animation overture. And I guess there's two parts.
Something?
It's on YouTube, on the PlayStation YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's links to it in the article we have in the Google Doc, so... Definitely check it out, because it seems like it's pretty good.
Yeah.
The people that are doing the recent Evangelion movies are the ones that did this.
Yeah.
So, looks decent, so probably worth watching.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think it's only 17 minutes long, so it's not
it's
too
not
time intensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, moving on from that, what happened to the Devil's Third thing? Did you take it out?
Yeah, I thought we, in the interest of time.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
skip over that.
All right. So from that, SNK, Oda, what's his name?
Yatsuyuki Oda.
Yatsuyuki Oda has announced that SNK is making all kinds of things for 2017. That is a good thing to hear.
A lot of possibilities of what that could be, and you have to wonder if they've kind of tipped their hand on some of them already based on things we've seen through Steam, through PSN in recent months.
Yeah. Well, even if they have, I like what they're tipping their hand to, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good stuff going on there. I mean, New Samurai Showdown, that should hopefully be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What else could they put out?
Yeah, Metal Slug would be nice.
Garo.
Yeah, Last Blade, Garo, Metal Slug.
Yeah, I think Metal Slug, where they don't just rehash that same art style.
Yeah.
They actually do something brand new and modern would be amazing.
Hmm. Yeah, this...
I think... The 3D Metal Slug on the PS1.
Yeah, it didn't work that great.
Yeah. Great thing is, SNK has a very, very diverse library of things.
Yep.
Lots of which never even came over here to the West.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot to choose from.
Problem.
Mm-hmm.
So. Maybe they'll do a third Foon game.
Yeah.
That'd
be interesting. It's definitely one to go back to.
All right. Well, going from there over to Capcom, Ayano has announced that there are big plans for Street Fighter's 30th anniversary.
I hope so.
This is interesting. It doesn't speak to Street Fighter V content, really. Because we already know about Season 2 and the plans for that. I think something else is going on there.
Yeah.
And for the record, I don't think it's Marvel versus Capcom Infinite either.
No, because that's already announced.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When's the Street Fighter 30th anniversary is when exactly?
Sometime next year is all I know.
Yeah. Because the release dates of games back then were kind of fuzzy, so it couldn't be whenever the heck they decided to do it. But, yeah, 2018 it probably wouldn't be another Street Fighter game, because Street Fighter V still has legs, but...
Yeah.
Unless it was a new version of older Street Fighter games.
Yeah.
Ono has tossed around the idea of Alpha 4 in the past.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Nope.
Maybe a big-ass Street Fighter anthology.
That would be fantastic with online play across the board.
Yeah.
And get do we want like the OG graphics, or we want like someone like Studio Udon to come in and?
I think we would go with the OG graphics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's.
Or maybe have it so you can choose between them like HD Remix let you.
Yeah,
that'll work.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do here because, Street Fighter is pretty much one of their biggest properties right now, so you want to treat it right.
Exactly. And
if they were going to do anything remotely new, then I would say pay close attention to the Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite roster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, maybe talk about getting us an arcade mode? Street Fighter V?
Yeah. That's maybe still happening. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's on the menu. They launched Season 2, and it was nowhere to be found, so make of it what you will.
Yeah, and again, monthly updates.
Yeah.
So.
All right, then. So, going on from there, we have Arc System Works.
This was a surprise.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere.
Arc System Works is set to release for shotgun release PS4 and PC launch January 30th, Double Dragon 4.
Yeah, they made a NES game for the 30th
anniversary projects.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm buying this. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I didn't quite like Double Dragon Neon. A lot of people did. I wasn't a huge fan of it.
I liked how ridiculous that game was.
It was completely stupid and over the top. But
like, oh, we go fight in this dojo, and then it launches into space.
Yeah. The soundtrack was amazing. I have to give Jake Kaufman that, because did a fantastic job with that. But this is looks like, you know, the continuation of the NES games. It's got that sprite art style.
It's based on the Double Dragon 2 NES sprites.
Yeah. Which
not based on its engine, clearly, because things happen in that teaser trailer that do not happen in Double Dragon 2.
Nope.
Yeah. Or any NES game, for that matter.
I'm not going to spoil it outright, but for those who haven't seen the trailer, but I look forward to seeing people's combo videos for this game.
I want to play this, because, you know, it's Double Dragon. We haven't seen a good Double Dragon game in, for me, since a long time beyond Neon, but, you know, that's just me.
I would say at least Super Double Dragon.
Yeah, I'd go there. Yeah, we won't speak.
Oh, Double Dragon Advance was a thing.
Yeah,
that was very good.
That wasn't bad.
And it certainly wasn't doing too well on XBLA last gen.
Yeah,
where they kept releasing shitty games.
Well, they released the an arcade port, which was good. Then they released Double Dragon 2, which was not.
Which was
So
it's good that that got rescued by a developer that actually could do good work.
Yeah, that actually knows how a fighting game is supposed to work.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. January 30th? Oh, crap. I wonder if you can pre-order it already.
Yep. Yeah, and they got actual former Techno staff working on it.
Yeah.
I'm interested in seeing where they go with this, because you know they didn't buy the franchise just to do an NES-flavored Steam release as a one-off. It has to be leading to something, you know.
Yeah. So the question is, do they skip Double Dragon 5 and go straight to 6? You would kind of have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I'm completely okay with them just rev.
Yeah.
Just that game never happened. Take it away.
Yeah. All right, then. So now we're getting ready for some Final Fantasy 14 stuff. So, first things first, Naoki Yoshida, he detailed the immediate future at JP FanFest. First is The Far Edge of Fate Part 1, which is January 17th.
Cannot wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was detailed, I believe, on the second day of the Japanese Fan Fest. It's going to conclude something of a bridge arc that's gone on since what I would say was the proper Heavensward ending, which was a set of quests that started with one called The Paths We Walk, which was, in my opinion, the best Final Fantasy ending in years. And it was a proper ending, even though it obviously Final Fantasy 14 is far from over.
Yeah.
But ever since then, they've gone into a bit of a bridge arc, one of which kind of had some, or part of which kind of had some really dark implications for what happened to the world of the first game. It's gone into a phase now where they're kind of setting the stage for Stormblood and shifting the focus of events from the far north of Ishgard and Dravania to the far east, where you've got Alamigo. Which is going to be the country that they unlock in Stormblood. So that's going to be interesting. They're adding the third Warring Triad battle. Zuvron, the demon they're calling him. People who played Final Fantasy VI back in the day will know him as Poltergeist. As one of the three statues that Kafka fucked with to cause the end of the world. They've already done the other two, of course. So we'll see if this is leading to something. As far as the lore of Final Fantasy XIV goes, I'm not sure how they're going to be able to keep this ship that's kind of the centerpiece of a floating continent called Azus La afloat when you finish off Zuvron, but we'll see how they explain it. It's been an interesting part of the game, and it's been a really fun experience watching them reimagine some really classic bosses from the 16-bit years. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing what they do with that one. And then another bit of news that's pretty cool, I thought, personally, was they're doing some Garo crossover content. Now, Garo is this really crazy tokusatsu series that, if you think the stuff that Toei puts out is a little too child-friendly, child-oriented, watch Garo, because this is the this goes more the Game of Thrones route. Not really in the same vein, but a similar type of diversion from what you usually expect from the genre. And so, seeing the equipment that people are getting to basically become Hell Knights in Final Fantasy XIV is really cool, and the trailer it nails it. It's too bad that they couldn't just say that Hell Knight is going to be the second new job class in the expansion, but I'll take this for sure. So that wraps up a lot of the 3.5 stuff. Then sometime in March, they're going to be dropping 3.55, which is part two of this particular storyline that'll bridge into Stormblood. We don't know a whole lot about it yet, except that it will conclude that storyline. And it is the last stop for PS3 players, because when the expansion drops, PS3 support for the game is coming to an end. So they are bringing the free PS4 upgrade promo back, so which means that if you own the PS3 version of the game, you can upgrade digitally to the PS4 version at no cost to you. They're just saying, we don't want to cut you guys off. If you get a PS4 or if you have a PS4, we'll just move you along so that you can keep playing. And they did this around the time the game launched too, because Final Fantasy XIV wasn't quite ready to go on the PS4 when the system launched. So you had all these people who bought the PS3 version of the game because the PS4 version wasn't ready. And so they said, okay, go ahead, buy the PS3 game, enjoy it, play it. And when the PS4 version comes out, we'll let you upgrade for free. So it's same deal.
Awesome.
So it's Naoki Yoshida has been really cool about doing things like that and just being very pro community.
Well, I mean, it only benefits them to do stuff like this, you know.
Even though he looks sometimes like he doesn't feel very pro community at certain trade shows. he's definitely the producer that this game needed. He's been doing fantastic things with it. Then comes the big one. June 20th, Stormblood, Final Fantasy XIV version 4.0. Alamigos debut as a playable territory. I should probably explain at this point what Alamigo is. So, basically, when version 1.0 launched, there was all this lore about the Eorzean Alliance, which was obviously Uldah, Gridania, and Limsa Lominsa. And Alamigo. But Alamigo got conquered by the Garlean Empire, I think 10 years before the start of Final Fantasy 14 version 1. So it was never accessible in game. There was a little bit of concept art of it, and that's about it. A lot of people thought that the very first expansion was going to add it to the game and have you reconquering it from the Empire. That wasn't the case. Instead, they took it north into Ishgard and Drivania, and that was cool too. I honestly believe Heaven's Ward will be looked at as a very good high point of the series, or of the game, because there were just experiences there that that are definitely going to stay with me, at least. Stormblood. Now we're going into Alamigo, and they're talking about. Well, I guess I should talk about some fallout of the of that occupation, because it pushed a lot of people west into Uldah and created kind of a refugee situation there, and a lot of them settled in eastern Thanalan, southern Thanalan, in a place called Little Alamigo, which is basically just a cave in the desert. And obviously they're not doing well. They're at odds with the more well-to-do inside of the city of Uldah, and as well as some other factions out in the southern desert that have kind of gone off to become brigands and thieves. Sorry. What's been happening more recently in the storyline is that they've been a good number of them have been rallying behind this new leader among their youth, who's getting everyone whipped up and trying to get them to take up arms to reclaim Alamigo again. But the means by which he's doing it are it's going nowhere good in terms of the storyline, because this relic, I guess you could say, that has fallen into his hands. Had previously possessed a major character in Heaven's Ward, and nearly got that guy killed. And so that's where we are right now. Is he's just received this relic?
Wow, that's a weirdly timely plot line.
Yeah. So you've got these Alamigan forces that are starting to rally up in basically the southern areas of Uldah, and they're getting ready to push into Alamigo proper. And meanwhile, a lot of the promotional materials for Stormblood have talked about when you get into Alamigo. Now the Empire has been occupying it for 15 years, and you've got a whole generation of Alamigans who do not know anything but Garlean occupation. And so one of the questions that the promotional materials have posed is how receptive will the Alamigan populace be when their would-be rescuers arrive? And so
yeah,
it'll be a really interesting it'll be a really interesting situation to watch as we go into the summer and see what kind of storyline that Yoshida has put in place, because it's something that, as far as even from a game standpoint, this has been kind of brewing way since the original Final Fantasy XIV. So, yeah. As far as mechanics go, we know that there are at least two new job classes coming, possibly three, and one of them is Red Mage. I'm guessing we're going to find out what the second one is in the European Fan Fest in Frankfurt. But that's still a little ways off. There's a new beast tribe called the Ananta, which look like kind of a merfolk tribe, but they are land-based. They live in the mountains.
They looked more snake-like to me.
Yeah, kind of. And then their patron primal is Lakshmi, which is kind of a surprise, but certainly makes sense. The big announcement that came out of the fan fest was the 24-player raid, which is the return to Ivalis. I'm not sure how that relates Ivalis to Final Fantasy XIV. Maybe it's a neighboring continent to Eorzea, which would be pretty cool. And if so, then I imagine they'll do a lot more with it if subscriptions ever start to slide and they need to revitalize the game. But there are a lot of places they've got to go before then. Nobuo Uematsu is back at least to do the theme of the expansion, but other possibilities do remain on the table. You might remember that he did a good chunk of the original Final Fantasy XIV soundtrack, and they have recycled some of those tunes for A Realm Reborn. So who knows how much he's going to be doing now. And finally, the Collector's Edition seems to be focusing on Final Fantasy V goods. The chicken blade is one of the weapons you get. You can get a wind-up Bart's minion to follow you around. Yeah, it's pretty cool. If I were one to buy into Collector's Editions that are bigger than what you can fit on your shelves, then I'd probably be all up in this one. But yeah, there's a lot going on with it. I saw one thing that was like an action figure of the new, or of this particular story arc's antagonist, which is another really cool design. But yeah, Stormblood, June 20th. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, they're really like going all out with this game.
Naoki Yoshida, I'm telling you that he is what this game needed.
I mean, I can't imagine the subscriptions for this game are anywhere near the level of a World of Warcraft, but they must be doing well enough for them to keep doing it, so...
You'd be surprised.
Cool.
In fact, Well, you gotta remember, World of Warcraft hemorrhaged them a while back, too.
Yeah, well, it's like ebbs and flows. Every new expansion, they get a bunch of players, and then they go away, and they come back.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, the penultimate story of this... episode, the producers Frederator, producers of animated television, recently announced that they're working on a new series based on a, as of yet, unnamed classic video game franchise.
Yes. Pac-Man, the animated series. Oh, we already had that, didn't we?
Yeah. The reason to get excited for this, Frederator are the people behind Adventure Time. Which, and also stuff like Bravest Warriors and the Fairly Odd Parents. Yeah. So they've done good stuff in the past. They've got a very good track record of putting out quality programming. Yeah. So, obviously, the question is, we don't know what it is at all. We don't even know if it's going to be a Nintendo IP. This is what they said, word for. They said, we have a project now that we're doing that needs to go unnamed, based on one of the most world-famous video games of the last 30 years that we've had in our shop for 12 years without being able to get it started. But there were great characters and a great story, and eventually we got it going. Hmm. Now, you know he said last 30 years.
Yeah, 80s to now.
So, obviously the question is, what the hell is it they've got on their docket?
Yeah, it could be anything.
Let's see. Something with great characters and a great story. See, that's a hard one.
Yeah, it's a hard one. If you want to go, okay, I don't know.
And remember, he didn't say franchise. He said video game.
Yeah. One video game.
One particular. So that puts out like Final Fantasy or something like that.
Doesn't put out Chrono Trigger.
Does not put out Chrono Trigger. It could be a Nintendo IP. Honestly, that's kind of my first guess. Because, you know, it's been a while since, you know, I mean, we haven't really had a Nintendo-based cartoon since the 90s, and,
yeah, those didn't go well, so...
Yeah. Mostly because they were put in hands of people who just didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is 90... That was 90s commercial animation, yeah. And...
Yeah, it was a real Uwe Boll mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me pause it one for you guys, see what you guys think. Okay. Maniac Mansion.
I would say that, but the problem is that was primarily a PC thing.
Yeah, it still qualifies as a video game, and did come out on the NES.
Yeah, it did, but was it really
world
famous?
Probably, just a thing.
I mean, don't get me wrong, that would be an amazing concept for a show, yeah. But yeah, I'm not seeing it.
The thought.
Yeah, if it's anything that might be in, like, the Adventure Time mold, like, WarioWare would fit that if be a Nintendo thing.
Yeah.
Some sort of, like, Wario thing.
People on the site seem to be suggesting Legend of Zelda, which would, again, go with Adventure Time.
Yeah, and it might actually
Yeah, that'd be,
confirm,
like, on the nose.
But it might actually confirm the Zelda rumors that came about last year. Which we talked about, you know, so...
Yeah, but you said they've been having this on the back burner for 12 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. The last, you know...
It would totally make a lot of sense for it to be a Nintendo property, considering Nickelodeon's owned by Viacom, and they're also going to work on the whole Universal Studios thing.
Yeah.
I don't see a Disney property doing it, so...
Yeah.
Parappa the Rapper.
Oh, Sonic the Hedgehog again.
Well, again.
Maybe, I don't know.
They already got a show.
Yeah. Look, if you got if they got back with Archie, with the Archie Comics people, I would be all over that. But they've already got Sonic Boom going right now, and
true.
But let's follow that line of thinking though. Phantasy Star.
I don't know about world famous, but definitely a classic.
It's a classic, and it's obviously a big deal, you know, in Japan. But the thing with Phantasy Star is it came out sort of before JRPGs went from being a sort of a niche to, you know, becoming a big deal.
Then you get the PSO loophole.
Yeah.
I've got one. Mega Man.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Though that would be Capcom acknowledging that Mega Man exists.
Well, they're already doing that.
Actually, I would be opposed to that as a show.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, they already made that. Well, Mega Man actually already had his own show back in the day.
Yeah.
And it's actually not bad.
It was done by the same people who did the Street Fighter cartoon. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so many things that they could pull from, so I guess we'll have to wait.
We're literally just sort of pissing in the wind here. Yeah, it's just...
Yeah. And part of me hopes, you know, beyond hope, that it will be a Joust cartoon. Just because of how ridiculous that entire concept is.
Hmm.
But
yeah, well,
given Frederator, I think they could actually make that work.
Yeah, probably. Oh man, but yeah, until we hear anything concrete, this is mostly just going to be speculation on our part. Yeah. So,
but that one was fun too.
Yeah. Yeah, because my mind is reeling with ideas, and yeah.
It could still be
packed. It could, but Pac-Man's been done so many times now.
They got a show on now, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we got a show, guys.
Yeah.
Wait.
What?
Soul Calibur.
No.
Well,
not old
just
enough,
out of hand, it? No.
No.
No, it doesn't really fit Frederator style.
No.
See, I don't know their style, so that's...
Yeah, they're, looks kind of cutesy at on the surface, but gets very dark very quickly.
Yeah, Adventure Time, Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah.
And Bravest Warriors, all of them in that idiom.
Yeah. So...
Oh, look at all the strange creatures and bright colors, and dear God, something horrible must have happened here.
Yeah, pretty much.
As with, you know, with Adventure Time, it was basically the end of the world. And the complete irradiation and reshaping of planet Earth. So.
Yeah. But, I would say it has to be totally a westernized franchise for it to work out.
Probably. Well, I could have started in Japan and gotten very, you know, gotten popular over here, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We won't know until they're ready to announce it.
Yep. So, all right, so, we got a show, guys.
Yeah, I need to go to bed.
Cool.
Yeah, we all do, because we got lots of drinking to do in the next couple days. Yeah, all right, so, with that, I have been your host, Brandon Perkins. This has been the last show for the year. Do not expect us on Sunday. We will be quite drunk and or hungover. So...
Or just surly.
Yeah. So, with that, I have been your host for Filippo Dinolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, and Dan Ren Victoria. I would like to say good night and
get some sleep out there.